In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. What makes the gospel offensive is not who it keeps out, but who it lets in. It's a phrase popularized recently by author Rachel Evans, who fell asleep in the Lord in 2019. But it's a concept dating back not just centuries, but millennia. Many people will be more offended by who the gospel lets in than by who it leaves out. Or to put it another way, some people, maybe something inside each of us, something inside me, will get offended by the mercy God shows to people that I find unworthy. We can start all the way back in the Old Testament. We all know that Jonah was swallowed by the great fish, or the whale, depending on your translation. But do you remember why? It's because God asked Jonah to go prophesy to people that Jonah hated, and he ran the other way. And the whale incident was needed to get Jonah's attention and turn him back around to where he was supposed to go. By the end of the story, Jonah is deeply offended at God because God didn't destroy Nineveh, but instead was gracious to them. Jonah was angry and offended at God because God showered with mercy people Jonah found objectionable. Jonah was offended by who the gospel let in. Now, two Sundays ago, we heard the story of Zacchaeus, that traitor, that tax collector who Jesus chooses to befriend even before he repents. And just about everybody's offended. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner, they all murmur. In Jonah's day, the gospel let in those hated Ninevites. In Jericho, the gospel let in the tax collectors. Another time, Jesus is in the synagogue, and there's a woman there with such a bad back, she couldn't stand up straight for 18 years. Now, in those days, people with chronic illnesses were considered unforgiven. They had some kind of sin that God was punishing. But Jesus calls her forward out of the women's section and into the fullness of the synagogue and heals her. The ruler of the synagogue is mad. He's offended by who the gospel includes. Now, his world was, I like knowing who's included and who is excluded. And this Jesus is messing this up, calling this woman, this sinner, forward. The offense of who got included happens over and over and over again. Lepers, included. Bleeding women, included. Prostitutes, come in. Adulterers, I want you on my side. People who only work the last hour of a workday, same reward as everyone else. And this caused offense every single time. Every single time. Maybe the greatest offense Jesus gave happened when a Roman centurion begs for healing for one of his servants, and Jesus heals the boy from a distance. The Romans, they were pagans. They believed in false gods, lots of them. And they were the sworn enemies of Israel. They were an occupying and oppressive force. And it's bad enough that Jesus heals this Roman's servant. But afterwards, he says something so deeply offensive. Jesus says, many foreigners will come far from the east and far from the west and feast in the kingdom of God, while many sons and daughters of the kingdom are going to be left out. That declaration, to say the least, did not go over very well. The gospel is often more offensive because of who it lets in. Now, I'd love to be able to tell you that after Pentecost, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that this problem went away. History tells a different story. We're human beings, after all. Acts 15, the whole chapter, is about a big hullabaloo among the apostles and early leaders about whether the gospel lets in non-Jews without them first converting to Judaism. And it says right there in Acts, it says, there was a huge argument with lots of dissension and offense. It was offensive to many of them that non-Jewish could be let in. All of this brings us to today's parable of the prodigal son, or perhaps more accurately, the loving father. A younger son takes half his father's money, and he goes and he wastes it on an indulgent, irresponsible binge. Of course, he runs out of cash, and gets a less than minimum wage job feeding pigs and is soon filthy and starving half to death. Now, let's be honest, there's got to be at least one voice in the world that says serves him right. Nevertheless, this son comes to his senses and returns home. And the father, of course, he's overjoyed. He sees his son way in the distance and says, that's my boy. And he runs out to him to rescue him, and he brings him back and throws him this huge party. Older brother hears about it, and he's mad. He is upset. He's deeply offended, and he won't go into the party. So dad comes on out, and the older son pops his cork. I've been working my tail off. I've never disobeyed a single commandment of yours a single time, and you never give me nothing. And we can save his lack of gratitude and his lack of self-awareness for another day, because all of this is just hot air for what his real problem is. You see, next we get to the real issue, the actual issue that caused him to boil over. The older son, he says, this son of yours, notice how he distances himself from his own brother. This son of yours wasted everything with harlots, and you throw him a fiesta. You welcome him in as if nothing's wrong? This is the real issue. That the gospel includes and welcomes people, I find offensive. I mean, that's the meaning of the prodigal son story. The whole, I work hard, I never do anything wrong, you never gave me a party, that's just a smokescreen. And my evidence is that the older son, he never complained about that until his brother came home. Until his brother got a party is the first time that he brings up his own hard work. The real offense is, Dad, you are letting in and celebrating someone I find offensive. And the ultimate proof is why Jesus told this parable in the first place. It says right at the beginning of the chapter, tax collectors and sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him, and Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So Jesus spoke this parable to them. The reason Jesus is speaking this parable to them in the first place is because religious people were offended by who Jesus befriended, by who the gospel lets in. So I guess a question for us today as we near the beginning of Lent, is there anyone that you find offensive that you might want to soften your heart towards? In all the examples I gave, I started with Jonah and finished with the older son, and both of these stories have something in common. They end the same way, which is with an unanswered question. When Jonah is angry that the Ninevites were shown mercy, God asks him, isn't it good to show grace to such a big city full of people and animals? And with the older son, the father says, isn't it right to celebrate your brother, essentially coming back to life after all he's been through? The interesting thing is both stories end before we hear their answer. We never get their answer. We don't hear either one's response to the father's question, which means the question isn't really for them. The question is for you and for me. For many people, what makes the gospel offensive is not who it keeps out, but who it lets in. That was true of Jonah. It was true of the older son. It was true of all the other examples I shared today, and a lot more. Don't let it be true for you. Is there anyone, individual, group, category of humanity, is there anyone you find offensive to whom you may want to soften your heart? Amen.